Let us say amen this morning. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord's name is high above all nation, his glory above the heavens. Amen. Amen. I want to thank Brother Reggie this morning for an outstanding job in leading our songs. I know he didn't know, but I'm going to share with him and y'all as well. Probably some 30 years ago or so, I told Brother Man, I said, man, look here, bro, if you go before me, make sure you sing My God Is Real at my funeral. Make sure you sing that one. Boy, that one means something to me. It touches my heart every time I hear it. Thank you, brother, for singing that this morning. It meant something to me. He did an outstanding job. This is my second time hearing him lead songs, and I hope he'll continue to do God's work. Amen? Amen. I want to thank everybody that served this morning. We've had a very smooth service thus far, and I'm going to hope I can do my part as well. To those that are visiting with us this morning, you may notice that you're experiencing a little different worship service than you may have experienced in the past. We strive to worship as the apostles did. So therefore, when we worship, we will give you book, chapter, and verse for what we believe. Amen. We sing without the aid of mechanical instruments and music because Ephesians 5, verse 19 says, sing and make melody in your hearts. We don't call the preacher reverend here. We call him brother because the Psalms 111, verse 9 tells us holy and reverend is God's name. So there is no man or woman in my viewpoint that's equal to God, so I'm not going to call you reverend. If that's all right with you, if it's not, it's still going to be the same. There'll be no women participating in our worship service this morning because 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 34 and 1 Timothy chapter 2:12 says women ought to be silent in the church. Amen. We will take the Lord's Supper every Sunday that you come here because Acts 20 and verse 7 said it was on the first day of the week that the disciples came together to break bread. We also believe that salvation is obtained through the preaching of the gospel. That's the good news, the story of the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, proving he was the Son of God. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Our hope is that you will believe that story and that you're willing to confess the same with your mouth before this audience and witnesses this morning. And if you are, we'll baptize you in water for the remission of your sins, according to Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Then the Lord is faithful and he will do his part and add you to the church, according to Acts 2 and verse 47. That is the one church, the only one you can read about in this Bible, the only one Christ died for, and the only one I'll ever preach about. That is the church of Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is going to come from Matthew chapter 18. And I'm going to spend a few minutes speaking to you on the subject of woe to that man. Woe to that man. But we're going to start, we're going to do a little contextual reading so we can understand where we are in this particular scripture. We're going to start with the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, and I'll begin at verse number 33. I'm preaching from the King James Version of the Bible this morning. The Bible reads, they come to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them. What were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. And sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and placed him among them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whosoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me. John said to him, teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it is better for him if a heavy millstone is hung around his neck and he's thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If it is better for you to enter life maimed than having two hands to go into hell.
into unquenchable fire. And if your foot is causing you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to end a life without a foot than having your 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye is causing you to sin, throw it away. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not extinguished. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalted, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. The Gospel of Luke also has a recording of this same set of scriptures. It's Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse number 46. We'll go through verse number 50. And I apologize, this particular part of the sermon is written in the, I'm reading from the NASB, New American Standard Bible, for this particular scripture. Now, an argument started among them as to which of them might be greatest. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their hearts, took a child and had him stand by his side. And he said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you, this is the one who is great." John answered and said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow along with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not hinder him, for the one who is not against you is for you." Now let's look at our text for this morning. We go back over to Matthew chapter 18, and the scripture begins, At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, after the Lord's transfiguration, he has come to Capernaum with his disciples. At the same time, at the exact same time, Peter has returned from paying that tribute money. You remember, tribute money is an offering that's given to the priest. It's an offering to the Lord. It's collected to pay the expenses of the temple, and it's collected from strangers only. You remember the story of Jesus telling Peter to cast a hook and a line and take up the first fish that took the hook in his mouth, and in his mouth would be a coin to pay the tribute for both Peter and Jesus. Right. Let's look at verse number 2. "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus said, now, if you don't change some things, you're not going to heaven. You're not going to get your mansion robe and a crown. Yeah. The first thing Jesus said to his believers who followed him was, if you want to meet me in heaven, you must change. Yeah. Now, this change that he's asking, he's telling his disciples that they must make, includes all of the likely suspects: lying, fornication, adultery, drunkenness, drug abuse. I don't want to say drug use because, you know, if you're in here, you African-American over 50, you probably taking some drugs. Yeah, so we want to say drug abuse because there's a big difference in drug use and drug abuse. Yeah. Now, what about those things that others say about us? Do we have to change those too? You know how she is. Girl, that's just how she is. Man, that's just me. That's how I am. I was born like this. I'm just like my daddy. She get it from her mom. We got to change some of that stuff. Yeah. What about some of that idiosyncratic behavior? And lest I use a 10-cent word, idiosyncratic just means unique characteristics. You know, some folks have to be right all the time. Yeah. And then some folks don't know how to listen. I had to learn how to do that. I can say I was guilty of that. I had to learn how to listen, be what's called an active listener. You know, then some folks are impetuous. They're just hot-headed. They fly off the candle at the least little thing. You know, and then we got some folk, and I know there's some folk in the church that's stubborn. They ain't gonna change just because they ain't gonna change. And some folks have them big old egos, you know. Don't we have to change those things too?
Yeah.
But what did Jesus say? We have to become as little children. That means we have to be eager to learn. Yeah, we got to learn to be happy right where we are. My daughter Shelby was fluffy when she was little. And we could give her a spoon and sit over there in the corner and she could play all day by herself. She didn't have to have no help. just happy. You know what I mean? Then you got to be caring. I remember when my mother passed away, I got a little testy about something as we were putting the service together, and I went outside and took me a breather for a minute, and my little nephew, my great nephew, came and put his hands on my back and rubbed it and said, "It's going to be all right, Uncle." Loving is what children are, and loving is what we ought to be.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Recognizing, they recognize that someone else is in charge.
Amen.
Yeah, it's not them, but someone else. They recognize that you only need to do your part. See, you can give a child a specific task. He ain't got to know all the other stuff that's going on around, and you say, just do this part right here, and they'll stay right with that task. That's the way we have to be as children of God in the church. Don't worry about what other folk doing and not doing. Do your part.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They want to take care of their friends. I was looking at a video on one of them social medias, and little baby was sitting next to his little twin brother. The little twin brother dropped his food. The kid took his brother's plate, and he took his and gave his brother his plate. And then he picked up the little one off whatever he dropped and wiped it off in his clothes, and he ate that one. That's the kind of spirit we have to have as Christians in the Lord's family. Am I right about it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Children are full of hope. They're the ultimate optimists because they don't have all this pessimism. They ain't ran into the storms that we ran into as adults. They don't know what's down the road. So they're forever optimists. And that's the way we got to be. We got to have a hope of heaven, if I'm right about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some will say, "I can't change. I've been this way all my life. You can ask anybody, I've always been like this." But Jesus is saying to you, me, and everyone else this morning that if you don't change it, when it comes to getting heaven, you're going to be on the outside looking in. Yeah, let's look at, as Brother Brinkley used to say, "I'm trying to help you get some fireproof pajamas." Yeah. Yeah, let's look at verse number 4. "Whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." As we saw in Mark and Luke's account of these events, the disciples had been arguing over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. They still believe this is going to be an earthly kingdom. They ain't figured this thing out just yet. And each one is jockeying to see who's going to be the highest rank. Jesus tells them that the one who is best able to be humble, to be teachable, to be free from self-ambition, he will be the greatest. Jesus is not telling them to be childish, like arguing over petty issues, but rather he's saying to be humble and sincere at heart. Now, a question for us to look at this morning is, in what ways are you still struggling with your childishness? Are you struggling with who's in charge here at Highland Heights? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Newsflash. Jesus is in charge at Highland Heights, just like he is in every other church of Christ in the world.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. He's coming back to judge the quick and the dead as a parent. And just like when you were a kid, and your parents left instructions with you when they left home in the summer. Yeah. When they got back, if you wasn't doing what they told you, you got dealt with. Am I right about it? Yeah, that's the same way Jesus is going to be. Let him come back and you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. He going to deal with you. And it ain't going to be nice. Yeah, now some children, just like some in the church, they do like they was told. Others, they got excuses. And then you got them slick ones that want to try to play semantics. "Well, you said wash the dishes. You didn't tell me put them in the dishwasher. I wash them by hand." "Well, I wash my part. You said clean the house. I clean the bathroom. I clean my room. I mop." "Well, what about straightening up that living room where you was watching TV? Yeah. What about that stack of clothes over there that need to be folded?" "Well, I told them you said clean up." It's the same way with church folk. It's the same exact way with church folk. Take alcohol for one. They want to walk as close to that line as they can without crossing over. "Well, the Bible say, don't get drunk with wine. I drank whiskey." Bible say, well, don't get drunk. It don't say don't drink. It says don't get drunk. I drink all day and I don't get drunk. That's childish. That's trying to walk that line. Yeah, when Jesus returns, I'm just going to ask you. Y'all help me out where you can. When Jesus get back and find you passed out on the floor drunk, is he really going to care if you use Boone Farm or Jack Black? Is he really going to care? Yeah. Really? I'm just asking. Yeah. And then my second question, if you drinking all day, and you don't get drunk, then why are you drinking alcohol? Why not drink lemonade? It do the same thing, don't it? Yeah, just Brother Kirby. Yeah, yeah. The Bible tells us to have a sober mind, 1 Peter 5:8. Have a sober mind. Yeah, when he talks about alcohol in the Bible, every single time it's listed as something that you should avoid, it's talking about your decision making. Specifically, alcohol inhibits your ability to make sound decisions and lowers your moral fiber. So you should avoid it, if at all possible. Another question for us to look at. At what point does that first drink of Bud Light change you from sober to relaxed? Is that 1, 2, 3, 6, 8? At what point does that happen? At what point do you go from relaxed to smoothing? At what point do you go from smoothing to feeling good? At what point do you go from feeling good to just downright happy? Yeah. I'm just asking. Do I really need, I don't think I among this group here, I don't think I need to share with you the effects of seeing you drinking or drunk will have on the new babes or non-Christians. Am I right? Yeah. Well, Brother Curvey, I'm going to go ahead and make sure don't nobody see me, but I got to have me a drink. Well, unless you made your own, then the person that sold it to you saw you. How you ever going to go back in there and talk to that person about Jesus when they saw the way you are? How you going to talk to them about becoming a member of the church? And make no mistake, that is your responsibility. That's your job as a Christian, to share Jesus with everybody. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Make no mistake, you have brought a reproach upon the church. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I just got to have me a cold one. No, you just got to get you some help because you got a problem. I'm just telling y'all the truth this morning. It might not. I'm sure it's none of y'all, right? Yeah. Seriously, if you're compelled to do something, I want to make this serious because it is. If you're compelled to do something, drinking, smoking, abusing drugs, get you some professional help. And there's no shame in that. None whatsoever. If you still trying to stop, and you've been trying to stop since I first came here in 2004, it sounds to me like you're trying to keep doing it. Yeah, yeah. There's work to be done right here in Highland Heights in the kingdom. And you can't do it because you got to have a cold. Because you trying to stop. How you going to answer to Jesus about that? How you going to answer to Jesus about that, I ask you? It's not just drugs and alcohol. If you compelled to do anything that you know is sinful, seek professional help. Right. Yeah. Whether it's dealing with the finances God has blessed you with, whether it's maintaining healthy relationship, maybe it's your addiction to pornography, maybe it's your addiction to fornication, whatever it is, if you can't control it, get you some help. Yeah, yeah. Your challenges with sin are not mine, and mine ain't yours. But remember, God don't rank them. He's not going to ask you about mine either. Yeah. He's just going to say, you need to deal with them. There ain't no excuses. Yeah, there ain't no excuses. No matter how long it's been, there are always ways to deal with it. But let's get back to the scripture. Verse number 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he would drown in the depth of the sea. See, another characteristic of little children is they trust you. Yeah. See, that's the same way with new babes in Christ. They trust the person that brought them here. Right. Yeah, they trust the people that they meet when they get here. And Jesus says, if you hurt, mislead, cause one of these babes to stumble, it's better off that you was dead. Remember, he says we ought to become as little children. And I suggest to you this morning, be careful how you handle God's people. The little ones and the big ones. You better be careful how you talk to folks in the church. Because if you cause one of them to stumble, yeah, be careful how you talk about folks in the church. Because if you cause one to stumble, yeah, be careful how you handle God's people in the church. Because if you cause one to stumble, you're better off dead. Mm. Yeah. It has to be clear what I'm saying here by now. If you cause someone to lose their soul because of your behavior, because your sinfulness, you'll suffer a fate worse than a horrific and painful death. Let's look at verse number 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. See, sin and temptation are necessary evils. They're not going anywhere. They're going to be around. They're part of God's plan. He wants us to love him of our own free will. He doesn't want to control it or force us to love him.
Right.
Yeah. He wants us to love him because we want to. He wants a love that's tried, tested, and tempted. Yeah. One way that love will be demonstrated is how we treat one another.
Amen.
How you love on your brothers and sisters in Christ. But he says, woe to the man, woe to the woman that causes someone to sin. As I move on toward my close, let's look at verse number 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt, or walking with a limp, or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet and be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter life with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into hellfire.
Amen.
Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father,
mm-hmm,
which is in heaven. Mm. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. Whatever causes you to be caught up in evil or in sin, whatever it is that stunts your spiritual growth, whatever it is that's stopping the church from growing, whatever person, whatever activity, whatever teaching, whatever or whoever must be cut off. Whatever cancerous limb it is, it's better for you to live without it than to lose your soul. Yeah. I know. Y'all say, well, Brother Trevor, you sure you're hard on us this morning. Just think, I'm hard on me too. Yeah. When you write these sermons, you got to accept and swallow that truth first.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm whooping me too. I'm whooping me too. What I don't want lost here is when there's a problem in the church, you must take action. You can't just sit around and wait. You have to cut off what is causing the problem and move forward with the work of the Lord, the work and the help of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The same is true in your life. The same exact thing is true in your life. Whatever it is that's stopping you from growing, get rid of it.
That's right.
Whatever sin it is, isn't it time for you to give it up?
Right.
Yeah. Is there someone here this morning that wants to be a better father, a better brother, a better grandfather? Is there someone here this morning ready to be a better mother, a better sister, a better grandmother? Then are you ready to give up whatever it takes? Are you ready to give up? You know, you might have to give up some friendships, some folks you can't hang out with no more. Brother Stroud said to us once, and I've been saying it ever since, and I know several other of us in the ministerial class still repeat it. He told a young man he had seen down at Harris County 3 or 4 times. He said, "Young man, do you know what a noun is?" He said, "Yeah, it's a person, place, or the thing." He said, "Brother, you need to get you some new nouns, some new persons, some new places, and some new things." Yeah. I'm saying that to you this morning. If you know it ain't right, you need to start hanging out with some new folks. Yeah. You need to start hanging out in some new places. And you need to start doing some new things as your habits. Because remember, it's not just your soul that's at stake. It could be one of these babes. And if it's one of them, woe be to that man.
Amen.
Yeah. That a good sermon?
Amen.
I tried to do my best. Let's talk a little bit about how you become one of those babes. In order to become a Christian, in order to become a member of the Church of Christ, every person in the Bible did it the same way. They did it the same way. There's no secret. There's no, "I'm a member of this church, so I do it this way, and you do it the way you do it at your church." And we're going to talk a little bit about that this afternoon in "O Thy Wicked Servant," about different denominations and the way that they do things and why. Someone told you this morning that you should repeat a sinner's prayer. I'm going to address that right now. Now, I've been a little humorous in my presentation because I believe it's appropriate to have a little levity when you say really serious things to people. And if you have believed all of your life that you were saved because someone told you that, and I'm about to tell you this morning that you cannot be saved that way, that can be tough. That's a very tough crossroads. But what I'll tell you is the first thing you must do for your salvation is hear the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not a story of where, you know, he passed peacefully with family and friends. That's not that kind of story. My Savior was mocked, maimed, and murdered. And he had committed not one sin. He did it for the sins that I committed, the sins that you committed, and everybody between us, and everybody that comes after us. They say that greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Yeah, see, love is an action word. When God said it, he said, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He ain't feel nothing. You know, some folks say when they come, "I can't come to Church of Christ. When I come, I don't feel nothing." I can't find nowhere in this book, nowhere, where the apostles worship and they say they felt something. When Jesus told you, "If you love me, you will keep." That's action. Ain't no feelings in that. Yeah. That's why greater love than has no man than this, than he lay. That's action, not feelings.
That's right.
Yeah. He laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. And I pray this morning that my sermon and my words allow me to stand behind that same cross and be hidden, and you hear just the message that I'm delivering to you. Let me remain wrapped in the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ, and you see him lifted up. He died on the cross of Calvary, but that's really not the part that we should focus on. See, what's important is on Sunday morning, when God told that stone to move, when God rolled it away, and they came in looking for him. There's a song that say, when the stone rolled away, man walked in, and the angel said, I'm Gabriel, who are you? Yeah. Why are you looking amongst the dead for the living? My Savior got up with all power, both in heaven and in earth, proving he was the Son of God. No one else has gone into the grave and came out. Period. Now, that's the first part of what you have to understand to become one of those babes. You have to hear that story, understand it, and believe it, and accept it for yourself. But that in and of itself is not going to get you into heaven. Right. See, faith, folks will tell you that faith, you save by believing. Once you believe, that's it. But that's not what the scripture tells us. That's not consistent. See, you got to hear it, you got to believe it, and then we ask that you, and not just us, the Bible asks that you examine your life, where it matches up or doesn't match up with the scriptures, with the doctrines, with the teachings of Jesus Christ, and where it doesn't, to make those adjustments. That's called repentance. Yeah. See, it's not just changing what you're doing. It's changing your mind about what you're doing. Yeah, it's changing the way you think about those things. Yeah, brother Herbert Law, we call him Buck. He played basketball back in the day with my father-in-law back in Louisiana. Buck was telling the story about how he met his wife, and when he first became a member of the church, he said, man, right after I got baptized, I had just went to the store and bought me a frosty cold six-pack of beer, and they were sitting in the refrigerator. Say, my wife took them. It was early Monday morning. She set them out there on top of the trash can, and I was looking through the window at them, man. The frost was running down the bottom. My mouth was watered. I said, see, that's where you have to make that change. The way you're thinking about alcohol, the way you're thinking about sin has to have some adjustments. That's called repentance. Then here's the real important part. Really important part. You have to state unequivocally before men with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession that you're asked to make. We're not going to ask you to come up here and confess all your past sins. We're not going to ask you to come up here and give your testimony, how that, you know, your chest opened up and the Lord came and brought you and told you to come here this morning. That's not what we do here. We're going to stick with what the Bible say, the B-I-B-L-E. We're going to stick right there. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse number 37, after Philip had preached Jesus to this Ethiopian eunuch, it says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He's responding to the question of what doth hinder me from being baptized. They're traveling through the desert, and the Lord made available water in the desert. By definition, ain't no water in the desert. When he did that, the eunuch asked what he must do to be baptized. What's stopping me? I've heard you preach about this Jesus. You done told me all about him. I believe. What's stopping me? Did he tell him a sinner's prayer? That what slowed him down? Did he tell him, well, you already believe, so you already saved? Is that what he told him? No. Acts chapter 8, verse number 37. Philip told him, if thou believest with all thine heart, you mayest. You mayest be saved, or you mayest be baptized. Well, the rest of that scripture says, and he answered and said, meaning the eunuch, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. After he made that confession, he caused the chariot to stop, and they went down into the water, and the eunuch was baptized. Right. He wasn't sprinkled. He wasn't dipped. None of that. They went down in the water, all of them, him, Philip, and he was baptized. So that's the steps that you have to follow. Amen. You must hear it. You must believe it. You must be willing to make the adjustments in your life to follow the doctrine of Christ. You must confess before men what your heart has been led to believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we're going to baptize you in water for the remission of all of your past sins. Amen.
Aren't y'all glad that God forgives you?
Amen. When you wake up in the morning, you can feel good because you got a clean state to slate to start with. Yeah, that's a good thing. In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter told them, repent and be baptized, everyone. Did he say repent and repeat the sinner's prayer?
No.
Y'all sure? Because I know it's thousands of people over there with Joel Osteen this morning that that's exactly what he's telling them. If you're going to get to heaven, you got to do it the way the Bible say do it. You can't do it the way somebody tell you to do it. That's why we ask you to open your Bible and read along with us for yourself, because that is the only true test of what the Bible says about your salvation. I can't tell you because it's not mine to give, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. This, I'm giving you what I received. And that's the truth, just the way God loves it. Now, when that's done, once you've been baptized, God is faithful and he's going to do his part. He's going to add you to the church. Why y'all always think y'all the only ones going to heaven? I don't know who's going to heaven, but I'm going to tell y'all the truth about it. There's some folk in the Church of Christ that ain't going. Make sure y'all don't throw nothing at me. Yeah. There's some folk in the church ain't going. And I want to talk to them this morning, too. How you living? How you loving? How you serving? I'm just asking. Don't get mad at me. Because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. Yeah. If you know that your life is a guilty distance from God, if you know that you're doing some things in your life that you need to address, we're going to give you an opportunity this morning to get that straight. Because you don't have tomorrow promised to you.
That's right.
You don't know whether your eyes are going to open in the morning. I was asked recently at a job interview, lady said, if a year from now we were to ask you what people think about you now that you've been here a year, what would you say? I said, they would say, I'm the same every day. And I'm the same every day because God woke me up this morning. He breathed life into me. He gave me a reasonable portion of my health and strength. And depending on who you ask, wrapped and clothed in my right mind. He gave me all of my family still intact, all of them in good health. And I told her, I said, it's just 9:30. That's just what he did for me today. He been doing things for me for 59 years. Yeah. I'm talking about a good God. Because I know. I had a friend of mine tell me not too long ago. He said, Kirby, I don't know if I believe in God. I said, I'm going to tell you right now. Things have happened in my life. I know it couldn't have been anything else but an all-merciful, grace-filled God that did it. I can't speak for you, but I can sure speak for me. Yeah. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And I guess it's because I was raised in the church. But I'm done. I've preached a good sermon this morning, and I'm going to have a better one this afternoon. If you're here this morning and you've heard my words, you've read along with me, you've heard the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to come forward and make that noble confession. Put on Christ in baptism. Go home and make some changes in your life and serve with us here in Highland Heights.
That's right.
Work out your soul salvation. If you're here this morning and you're already a member of the church, but you know you need to get some things straight, this is also your time. If you're here this morning and you just need some folks to pray for you, pray with you, this is also your time. Well, if you're subject to the invitation, we ask you as we stand and sing a song of invitation that you come forward.
All my cares, I can tell them to my Lord, and He'll my burden bear through the pain.
Please be seated.
And the strength, that only Jesus brings me hope through all my trials, all of my trials.